I was going to compliment everyone, the congregation, for being so abundant here on Memorial Day weekend, and then I realized that half the congregation is Busher family. We're all here for Bethany's and Brad's wedding yesterday. Good to have you all here. Grace and peace to you from Christ Jesus. Our gospel today is from John chapter 14, and so will be the subject, the focus of our meditation. Have you ever noticed how some people make up their own standards for what it means to be in love? If you love me, you'll get rid of that blank. If you love me, you'll buy me that car, that boat, that perfume, whatever. If you love me, you'll write me letters every day. You'll cook and you'll clean, you'll do all the laundry and rub my feet. Thankfully, my wife and family do not have such high standards of me. Although I do assure you that I love them, and they love me, even though we don't have these standards. Although I am reminded of a seminary professor who once taught his students this little special mantra. It goes like this: never, 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 no, not ever, no, not once, you ever talk about your wife and family in a sermon, except in glowing terms. Can you guess who was one of his students? It is more so true as God's holy and redeemed people that we should talk about our Savior, Jesus Christ, in glowing terms. Never, 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 no, not ever should we talk about Jesus, our Savior, except in glowing terms. The glowing terms of the gospel. Always in the glowing terms of the gospel, especially when the law has done its work of condemning us, making us feel guilty, or judging us. So when Jesus says today in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, we should apply this teaching, not as some interpret it, as words of manipulation, or guilt-producing words, or shotgun pressure from God above to show that we truly love Jesus by a perfect show of our obedience. And if not, then we do not love God. Indeed, the word has been applied this way to many people, even some people in the church, as if to teach them that they weren't really loving Jesus. See, you don't really love Jesus, do you? You don't keep his commandments. You don't love Jesus. And the result of which is guilt, shame, more guilt, shame, often every day, to which if that were the right application of these words, then I would have to admit, guilty as charged, and so would you. As indeed lost and condemned creatures that we are under the law, that is the right interpretation. We don't keep his commandments. We don't love Jesus. The first commandment's broken. We are to fear, love, and trust God above all things. Have no other gods. We often have other gods. We don't love Jesus, apparently. But as God's beloved people in Christ, in light of the gospel, the glowing terms of the gospel, there is a different interpretation, different meaning, different application of these words. And remember that God sent his son Jesus to give us his righteousness, to fulfill the law perfectly on our behalf, and to give us that righteousness, that perfect fulfillment as a gift. What a great comfort we have in 1 John when it says, little children, do not sin. But if anybody does sin, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So when we hear Jesus say in the text, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, it is not merely law or a test of faithfulness or a verdict of judgment, but in fact, a gift. We receive Jesus' words in the way as though heaven has been opened to us freely, graciously, apart from works of the law. I heard it from Jesus' mouth. If you love me, and I do, and so do you, then you will keep my commandments. I do, and so do you. My God, we do keep them. He declared it. How wonderful. What a gift. Gift received. Praise be to God. And as it turns out, the text goes on to tell us how it is that we also keep the commandments outwardly before God and the world. We sometimes do. Not a perfect way, not in perfect example, not like Jesus who perfectly fulfilled the law. Only Jesus can do that. But when we do keep the commandments, refraining from doing evil and doing good for others, as the text prompts us to do, we do it, and here's why, Jesus says in the text, is because of the gift of a helper, which Jesus promises. He says in the text, and I will ask the Father, And he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus promised the gift of a forever helper, the Spirit, the one who dwells in us, guiding us in the way of truth. The Spirit is the one who enables us to believe in Christ Jesus, to have faith in Christ Jesus, that commandment, to believe that he is the truth. And the same Spirit works in us to produce the good fruits of faith, good works, faith, active, and love, you might say. Thank God for this forever helper, for without it we'd be lost, that he both declares us to be his faithful and forgiven people, and he works good in us, that other people will see the glory and the love of God and rejoice, despite our broken lives. Along with that gift of the forever helper comes the knowledge of how Jesus remains with his disciples of old and even now today, even when it appears as though he is gone. As we prepare for Ascension Day this coming Thursday, Ascension Eve, we'll celebrate it, observe it here at First Lutheran Wednesday night. As we prepare for that event, this text really becomes very significant for us, because Ascension, we see Jesus go up into heaven, go away. But what do we know about this? Well, this is what we listen to in Jesus' words today. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Although it may appear as though Jesus leaves us after Easter, after 40 days, and ascends up into heaven, yet we are to know and believe that by the power and the presence of Jesus in his Word, and the Spirit, the forever helper that is with us, Jesus remains incognito through the eyes, not of the world, but of the eyes of faith. We believe he is with us. I will not leave you as orphans. Orphans have no parents daily attending to their needs, watching over them, without the motive of money or some other earthly glory. Yet Jesus assures us that we have a heavenly Father who is with us and in us, a Father who is trusted, who is looking after us. He also leaves us with spiritual fathers here below, teachers of the church, teachers who teach the faith, act as spiritual fathers. And he also gives us faithful fathers for our families, praise be to God. We are assured that even though the world will not see Jesus, we will see him. Because he lives, we also will live. And Jesus patterned this, now you see me, now you don't, through this little pattern of his death and his resurrection and the open tomb and his rising again on the third day. Again after the resurrection, the disciples see him. Then he goes away, vanishes, then he comes back and he appears again, and then he disappears. And then the ascension comes and it seems like he's gone. Now you see him, now you don't. But he does this for our sake, to train us to believe that he is still here, even though we can't see him, that he is still with us, and we are to recognize him by faith. Eyes of faith perceive things truer than what the eyes of the world see. And with these eyes of faith, we know that Jesus is and was and always will be in the Father. And we know that we are in him and that he is in us. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is with us always. So be assured as we approach Ascension, the celebration this week, that God is still with you and will be in you even as we see him ascend on high. Just as indeed we receive his body and his blood today in our mouths, we receive Christ present. He is here with us with his mercy. He is really present with us. Praise be to God. And recall that in light of the gospel, that his commandment today is to love. And we will know him by his love, by his word of his love and his forgiveness, his grace. We are to love his appearing. And so we do. And through his gifts, an example to love our neighbor, showing mercy. And he who loves Jesus, God's beloved, is loved by God, by Jesus. This is true. Jesus loves him and makes himself known to him. in Christ. That's the true standard of God's love. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.